96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Our Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges, 620-340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KBOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, the 18th of August. It is 7:21 with 62 degrees, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KBOE Sutherland studio line by Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Melbourne. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are things going so far for you today?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. Well, we kind of figured with the recent updates from the CDC on COVID-19 matters, this would be as good a time as any to talk about COVID-19 caseload trends and other items here, and then started hearing about that same time about possible flu cases. So we figured we'd combine those two particular topics in general today. First off, though, Jennifer, as we start on COVID, kind of the now two-plus-year tradition of our interviews, how are things going on the COVID front so far as we really get into a busy time with schools reopening?
Yeah, I think we were all really hoping that COVID cases were low before we went into the school year. Unfortunately, that's really not what we're seeing. We have seen over probably the last month an increase in COVID cases. Fortunately for us, early indications, if we're looking at cases for last week, were that we saw a drop in our cases from the previous weeks. So that's good news. That's in line with kind of what's going on around the country. As a whole around the country, we have seen a decrease in COVID cases. So we're just hoping Lyon County follows that trend, and maybe we can see a decrease. Just have to be prepared, though, as you know, our kiddos are venturing back out into the world, that we will see a spike in COVID cases coming up.
Well, let's talk about the CDC. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced some key changes nationwide to its COVID-19 guidelines. Among them was the end of, Jennifer, required quarantine after someone is exposed to a close contact with coronavirus. So is this the end of quarantining then?
Well, it won't be the end of the tool of quarantine, but as it applies to COVID-19, then yes, we are seeing that those quarantining of close contacts has gone away. And what we're looking at now is just shifting to some more personal responsibility for people that are exposed. So if you know you've been exposed to COVID-19, you really need to wear that mask. And you need to wear that mask for 10 days past that initial day of exposure. And that's just to make sure that when you or if you develop illness, that mask is helping protect other people around you. And then the other big piece to that is testing. We have at-home tests and testing out in our community that is just widely available. And so we need to be using those tools to help, you know, prevent spread. And testing is one of those big things. So we really recommend that people test after day 5 of exposure, and that if you're using an at-home antigen test or even using an antigen test at a doctor's office, we call those point-of-care testing, and that test is negative, that you repeat that. And the FDA has come out with new recommendations that says that if you are in that exposed group and that you are not symptomatic, but you're testing to make sure you don't develop infection, they would really like to see you test 3 times with 48 hours in between those tests. That really covers the bases lets us know that most likely you do not have infection and that you wouldn't be spreading that infection while you're out.
Now, Jennifer, what about isolation if you are diagnosed with COVID-19, you test positive? Is it still 5 days?
It is. And they did make some changes to their guidelines with isolation. So isolation is for those individuals that have actually been diagnosed with the illness. So you have gone in and gotten a test and you have COVID-19. So we really want you to stay home for those first full 5 days after symptom onset, or if you're asymptomatic, after your positive test. And then after day five, so on day six, as long as your symptoms have resolved, you're fever-free, you're generally feeling better, then you can go ahead and go back out and resume normal activities, but you really need to wear a mask. And again, we have that testing tool, and that becomes very important in the new guidelines as well. So you really should wear that mask as long as you still have viral load, and you can transmit the virus. One of the ways to know that is through a test. So we recommend that you do an antigen test after that day five, sometime around day six, or after. And if it is positive, then you need to continue to wear your mask. And you want to get two negative tests with 48 hours apart before you remove your mask. If you're testing positive on an antigen, you still have viral load in your respiratory system. So, we just want to make sure that when you're going out, you're not spreading it. So that mask becomes important if you're still testing positive.
Jennifer, maybe more than a month, maybe close to 2 months now, you've been mentioning concerns about, the data that comes out on a weekly basis is being underreported for a variety of reasons. And I think probably because people are pretty well tired of having to deal with the COVID-19 adjustments and guidelines here. Are you still seeing those numbers, as we mentioned here at the top of our interview, as being underreported?
Yeah, I think they are. And I really think the biggest reason why they're underreported is just because we have home tests that are available. So, it's easiest to take that test in the comfort of your own home, and so I think that's our biggest reason why why tests at this point in time are official tests that get reported by testing agencies, like the hospital, like us. Is because of those home tests. And we can really tell if you look at throughout the pandemic, when we look at our percent positivity and we compare that to the graph of our incident rate, so the tests that have come in, those NATs that we call them, those nucleic acid amplification tests, those two graphs are very, very similar. Except in really two instances. One, very early in the pandemic, when we just didn't have enough testing capacity. It was saved for the very sickest people. We saw test positivity be really, really high and cases, documented cases, be low. Well, we are seeing that again in the pandemic, where you see that test positivity is high, but our case counts are low, so we have a decoupling of those two graphs. And that really lets us know that there is illness out there. Our test positivity is high, so a lot of the people that are going in and seeking testing are positive. So we assume then that there is illness out in the community, and we know those are being detected. They're just being detected by home tests.
Well, it appears, Jennifer, that hospitalizations are nearly nil. Do you attribute that to people that have, gotten the COVID-19 vaccine and boosted?
Right now we're seeing hospitalizations remain fairly low, even though we're seeing spikes. I think, right now we're not reporting hospitalizations, but we are still seeing people in the hospital. Throughout the summer, we've really seen probably between 1 and 4 individuals hospitalized at any given time. Sometimes that'll drop down to 0. Sometimes that might raise up a little higher than that. But those hospitalizations are definitely lower than what we were seeing any other time kind of in the pandemic when we were having spikes. And really, we can attribute that a lot to probably three things. One, to immunity, and that is both immunity from past infection and really from vaccination. That's probably our biggest tool in the immunity toolbox when it comes to preventing hospitalizations and death. But really, there are some other reasons, and another reason is because we have good treatments right now. So if you test positive, you can get treatment that doesn't require hospitalization or being an inpatient to get. You can get that as an outpatient. And we also know a lot more about treating people with COVID. So once you get into the hospital, you know, doctors know more about what to do to help keep you safe. So we have some good advantages right now when it comes to making sure that people don't get severely ill and then also die from COVID.
What are your recommendations on booster two, Jennifer?
Well, I'm very excited to see hopefully a booster come out this fall where the majority of people can get that next booster. But if you are, if you qualify, if it is time for you to get that second booster because you fit into the age group, you should do it. You shouldn't wait. But we're really excited that we're going to see a bivalent booster come out, or a booster that has, you know, kind of those original strains of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but also Omicron-specific strain that it will help protect against. I think that can be a game changer for us as we move into fall. The sooner we can get that into the arms of people, the better protected our population is going to be.
Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn's our guest here on the morning show today. Jennifer, let's shift over to flu, because it sounds like we may be getting a pretty early start on things.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, our flu cases here in Kansas are pretty minimal right now. We did see a spike kind of around April or May where we were seeing an increase in flu cases over like around July and August. Those started to decrease. And so we really have minimal activity with flu. But we got to look sort of on the horizon. And one of the ways we do that is to look at what's going on in Australia right now. Their flu season is, you know, had been going on. It's kind of backwards for us. They experience it when, in our summer. And if you look at what has happened there, their flu season started early. And so we need to be expecting that our flu season is going to start early. And comparatively, that would be potentially in October, which is much earlier than we normally see a flu season. And so the message is to start vaccinating early. We would really recommend people to start getting their flu vaccine in September. And then also, one of the things that we saw with their flu season is that kiddos were predominantly affected by flu. And so we need to be prepared that that's what's going to happen in our communities when flu season hits. So we really want those kids to get their flu vaccine this year. We also need to be prepared that we're going to see a rise in hospitalizations. And if that is coupled with a rise in hospitalizations due to COVID, that could really put a stress or a strain on our hospital system. So we really need to be watching those measures and make sure that we will implement greater infection prevention tools if we start to see those hospital systems get stressed. And then I think the other thing that we need to really be thinking about is if flu season happens in October and into November, then our holiday season is going to be impacted. So we really need to be thinking that maybe Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving travel might not look the same as what a normal non-influenza season would look like.
I guess my last question was going to be about the possibility of the twindemic. We've been able to avoid that here between COVID and flu the last couple of years, but the way it sounds is that is unfortunately back in the picture here, or at least in the conversation here for public health officials.
Yeah, it definitely is in the conversation, and we do need to be looking at that. We have seen influenza seasons not be like the past influenza seasons during the COVID pandemic. We've seen influenza be lower than normal. If we look at what has happened in Australia, that is not what we would be predicting for this year. So there is a potential that we will have both of these viruses circulating at the same time. Good news is, though, is that we have the tools in the toolbox to prevent those infections. So the social distancing, the increase in hygiene, the mask wearing, the increase in ventilation, all of those tools will help prevent not only influenza, but also COVID-19 infections.
Jennifer, as always, important information, sound advice. We thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
And Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our primetime Newsmaker, Chuck.
All right, and if you'd like to be part of the Newsmaker slots, next week's wide open right now, so we'll be getting those slots filled here within the next day or two.